sunshine. Give me a do. Give me something simple and true. All I need is sunshine and a cool, refreshing Mountain Dew. So give me my good hands. Give me a do.
Grab some friends and an ice cold Mountain Dew today.
Mountain Dew.
Are we podcasting?
Are we podcasting?
Justin and I have so much to say to each other, and I don't understand why, because we've talked hours upon hours this week.
I know, but when I don't see you for literally like 24 hours, I'm like, I got to remember to tell Jen this thing.
I know. A lot has happened in the last 24 hours. Like, one of the things, and that this isn't, oh, you guys, by the way, follow us. You can see the whole thing on YouTube. Please rate, review, and subscribe, and tell your friends to listen to the I'm Mom So Hard podcast.
That's right. That's right. It would help us, keeps us trucking, keeps us wearing really expensive t-shirts from bars in Nebraska. What's
That's
up?
That's right. You might recognize this from the Gap sale.
I love the Gap. The Gap's having a minute right now.
I do too.
And every time really we go in there, they're like, it's 80% off.
That's the thing. You don't ever go in and pay full price at the Gap, because they will go
never
on sale.
Never pay full boat at the Gap.
At least 40% off. It's just like minimum.
I love their button-ups. I think they've got, well, I could talk button-ups all day.
I do think, and there, I bet if you were a person who read and did quote-unquote research, you would know. But don't you feel like the Gap and Banana Republic like 10 years ago went to total shit? Now they're like back.
I'm not back with Banana.
Okay.
But I never kind of was. The only time I went to Banana Republic was when I was like, oh, I've got to look business appropriate.
Totally.
So I bought like two pairs of pants and a shirt. And I was like, what are you? This is bullshit. This isn't Chanel.
I
mean, because at the time, $100 for a pair of pants, you might as well have told me I'm going to put them on payments.
Listen.
Lay away my pants.
I'll tell you, it's a bunch of drug reps keeping Banana Republic in business.
That's 100% accurate.
That's the clothes that you wear.
Their vibe is not what I feel like, oddly, at this age, I feel like they're too mature for me.
Yeah.
But I feel like the Gap did take a dump and then has come full circle. And
yeah.
I've always really liked the Gap for my kids. I still think there's a big window that's missing.
There's
a
huge
gap for the girls, for the tweeny girls going into, like, I would say fourth grade to seventh grade.
We all don't want Abercrombie because that's that thing, and the sizing is hard. We don't want Justice because it's its own thing, and
there's not enough of them. I don't go to any stores where they're there.
Like, I think they're gone, and now they're only in, it's like either Kohl's or Walmart or something.
They're not around. I will tell you, I went into Abercrombie, and you would have thought I was like a leper. They were like looking at me like, do you expect to buy something here? And I was like, I'm shopping for my son. Thank you.
Yeah.
The woman goes, we don't carry your size. And I was like, oh.
Was it Abercrombie Kids or just regular?
No, it's regular Abercrombie.
The fuck they don't. What?
I don't know.
Oh, man.
Shelby behind the counter. I'll tell you what. I'm the one person you know that has a credit score that's over 700.
Exactly.
You're freaking Abercrombie and
I don't like that.
Snitch.
Well, hey, that's why a lot of brick and mortars are going out of business. Shop small.
Yeah.
Instead.
Or Poshmark, which I also can't. We got to just save that for an episode.
That's going to be a whole
other
podcast.
I have so many things I need to talk about with that. See, that's what I mean. I'm always like, I got to tell Jen about how pissed off I am about Poshmark.
Okay. So here is what I am dying to talk to you about right now.
Okay.
I watched this TikTok where this woman, and
that's
I don't know.
That's how you should start every conversation with me.
I know. I know this is going to get, you might have even seen it. We have the same feed, you guys, so.
A lot of rugby players, Jen.
What?
Embarrassing. A lot of rodeo people.
Kristen. So this woman was very sincere, and she said, I binge watched. I cannot stop watching. It is a nail biter. This documentary called Relentless. Have you heard about it?
Wait, remind me.
It's about the disappearance of this girl in Hannibal, Missouri. She's 23 or 24. And the crazy thing is it is happening sort of in real time where like the documentarian gets involved in it and
no!
like has hired their own private detective. And you guys, there are so many twists and turns to this.
Oh, I'm watching that tonight.
You have to. I was trying to go to bed early last night, and I think I watched like the first three episodes. I'm so addicted.
I know this case. I wonder if the Murder Girls did this case. I've heard of this, but I haven't seen the documentary. So now I'm putting it on my list.
So I don't know.
Right after Bridgerton.
I don't know where I did. I made sure I didn't Google anything about it. Just look up. I'm pretty sure it's on HBO Max.
Okay, great. That's the good one.
Or Netflix. Either one. But no, it's Netflix. It's Netflix.
So that's who does the docs. I'll look it up, Jen. I've got the Googs.
But don't look up anything about the case because every episode you think it's going one direction and then it goes an entirely different direction. I don't know what the status of this girl is, but like it's insane. It's insane.
Okay. I've got one for you too. And we can never talk in full swings because we never want to spoil it.
Yeah.
I'm going to try to say as little about this documentary as I can. A, if you don't like dark stuff, do not watch this. This documentary is called My Schizophrenic Brothers.
Yeah.
And it follows a family, and like the title tells you, six of the brothers are schizophrenic out of 12 children.
Yes.
And I find the conversation about schizophrenia in itself very, very interesting because when I was a teacher at a school that had kids that were, as you would say, maybe like at risk, schizophrenia was something that they really talked about because if they were going to go into psychosis, it was about the age that I had them as a teacher. And so they just wanted us to make sure that we could read the signs and we knew what was happening. So I found it very fascinating. So I was like, every year we had a training and I would like memorize it because I found it.
Yes.
Also, I was like looking out for my students because I wanted to make sure that they were okay. But it was, so it really dives into what schizophrenia is. It dives into, this case about these six brothers, but then episode 4.
I don't know if I'm there yet. I don't know how to tell you this.
It's not a feel good. So I don't know when you watch it, but I will certainly tell you that I binged it and I did not sleep. And I woke up the next day and I started my day with it. That was a terrible idea.
Yeah.
But when do you watch something like this, like midday and just blow the start and the end? I don't know.
I had to take a little break from it because it's not schizophrenic as it is the level of schizophrenia so far above like bipolar or something. These are people who like hear voices.
Right. That's what it is. Yeah. It's a disconnection from the real world. And so a lot of people that are homeless or schizophrenic
family.
And they explain it.
I did get to the part with the geneticist and
you can do it.
Okay.
Although I will say on a third note, I did watch Bridgerton.
Oh, do you like it? I know. It's hard. It's never going to be as good as the first one, is it?
I thought the second one was pretty damn good. And I've read the books. I thought this one was really boring. And I just felt like, you know, I know why everybody is into Bridgerton. It's the same reason I'm into Bridgerton. You know what I mean? It's humping. It's sexy. Yeah. It's the flirtation. It's the play. And I felt like this one was nothing but like apologizing and sort of like,
oh, boo.
The lead was
okay.
The thing about it is the lead woman who is like curvy.
I love her, Nicola Coughlan.
Everybody loves her.
I think, I do. I love her
performance in this. I think they played her that she is constantly apologetic for in the character, she's apologetic. She's always looking like she's on the verge of tears. And I'm like, at some point, you got to like yourself.
She's lady down.
Yeah, whistle down. I feel like she, spoiler.
Well, who hasn't seen
the first
one?
Fine.
Yeah.
God, if you haven't, enjoy your Friday night.
Let me tell you why I love her. I mean, on the show for
her character. She's better in PR than they wrote her for the show.
God, she has the best fashion. Like, she... the way she dresses when she goes to events and stuff like that. Like, I want to hang out with her. I don't really want to watch Bridgerton. I know.
I just feel like I think she's so...
Are there any solid banging scenes? Like, is there any... Like, we all know what we would say about
that. It goes down a path that I was not expecting with the old brother. There's a brother. Oh, there's a girlfriend.
Then there's another. I did see talk about this.
Again,
online.
I was kind of like,
no. Remember the first season and he goes into that brothel and he chooses a dude.
I'm telling you, I was turned on the whole time you just said that description. Season one, it was like I was
oh, man,
dating myself. I was like, yo, let's make sweet love to each other. This is Bridgerton. I'm on board.
Checking all the boxes.
You remember when I was such a weirdo that I joined that like Bridgerton fan group, and I did an online thing where with me and every other sad Bridgerton
she
person.
She tried to get me to go to one of those Eyes Wide Shut Bridgerton parties, and I was like, fuck to the no, sweetie. I'm not seeing that happen to you. Not on my watch. I don't care if your husband says it's allowed. I'm not.
I did try to go to a Bridgerton thing. I was like, Jen, we gotta dress up like Bridgerton people. And she's like, you're gonna swing, dummy.
I don't ever say no to a costume party, but this was a show up in your costume and then take it off kind of party.
I didn't know that was gonna be the deal. I was like just happy that I mean they would charge me for the tickets, but let's get that straight.
And you charge me. How dare you?
Yeah, how dare you? I'm gonna get naked.
Spit in the face.
Yeah, this is some bullshit. But I'm such a Bridgerton fan, and I like really like this. The book series are really fun. They're like a great beach read, but I was disappointed with this season, and it has nothing to do with Nicole as an actress. It had to do with how they wrote that character. I was like, at no point do we ever see her like herself.
Yeah.
That's just Nicole in real life likes herself. Yeah. So why can't she make her like herself? Like if you're going to
I think the girl who played – so the character that she played in the first one,
Penelope,
had a little bit of like spice and sauce and meanness to her.
I loved it.
Yeah.
Make her a little mean.
And this one didn't? Okay.
Just was that the whole time. And I was like, there's nothing more attractive than when a woman like likes herself. It starts to change the way you look at her and the way you kind of look at the world. Like when somebody just has like, and that's how I feel about these characters that surprise me, that I'm like, why are you so attractive? Mm-hmm. And there's not enough humping.
I'm not going to watch it. Everybody
thinks there's deleted scenes because there was really only two. And I'm not watching Bridgerton for two sex scenes. I'm watching the credits for two sex scenes.
Oh, my gosh.
My life, if I am watching Bridgerton with my pants open, not because I'm going to – guys, not because I'm doing
Kristen.
That. Then I'm not doing that till after. I'm saying because my pants are too tight.
Oh, okay.
So basically what we're saying is women are more powerful than they know, especially if they just play into the part a little bit, which is a fun way for us to talk about what we're going to talk about today, is how would you explain it? I think what we're going to say is like that mama bear mentality where you can sort of sense or know or become so much stronger than you think you are when you become a mother. And I deep dove this and I found it fascinating.
Really?
Well, you should tell your story about what happened to you.
Yeah.
And we'll unpack that.
I feel like this is a story that like I always tell my like female friends. And I was like, Kristen, I don't think I've told that on the podcast, but I feel
not
like
on the podcast.
I feel like there's so many instances where we're like socialized out of following our instincts, which I think is why we also don't pay attention to ghosts as we get older.
Oh, come on. Stay on the rails.
I know. Sidebar. Okay. But like, you're an animal, and who has ever felt more like an animal than after you first have your baby?
While you're having your baby.
Yeah. And if you're really lucky while you're conceiving your baby,
I don't know. I think mine was,
yours
I mean,
was a
can
little
you
animalistic.
Be a wild if you're in a Mini Cooper? Just wondering.
Just with limited space.
But yeah, that's pretty impressive. Gross. It's an animalistic behavior. It's no different than the farm animals to which
I do picture there being a lot of grunting, a lot of hair.
Oh, good God. Of course. My husband's 6'3". He was in the front seat. We're in a parking lot. What is wrong with us?
I just remember feeling like such an animal. It's not just the labor. It's like the trying to survive that first week afterwards where you're like,
disgusting.
Wait, did cave people do this? And how did they ever live?
I think they did it. And all they did was said, I just need to get to tomorrow. And guess what we do? We say, I just need to get to tomorrow. We just have baby Bjorns and devices and a bunch of crap. But at the end of the day, your body's still producing milk. You feel like it's not the wonder that everybody talks about. It's pretty awesome when you get when you start to figure it out a little bit. But at first you're like, why are my nipples like this?
I think it's really neat that anybody survives it. I think it really it's the best DIY that you can possibly, you're not entirely DIYing all of it, but like it's pretty impressive, like pulling a rabbit out of your hat, but
or
like
your ass.
I mean, it's really no less, in my opinion, than if they were like, we're going to take out your spleen and then we're not going to really sew it back up. It's still going to be a gaping hole that's exposed to bacteria and viruses. And then why don't you pee right next to that hole and just see if
and
you
also
live.
Feel pressure to get back into a pair of spandex and take your kid to music class in the same week.
Also, put a big bow on your young and take very expensive photos with them.
No, thank you. So
you feel like an animal. You just feel like an animal.
Yeah, you're very, very close to animalistic tendencies and behavior.
And when I had a newborn, so when Dash was a baby, when I was up at night breastfeeding, I made this horrible decision to read on my Kindle while I was feeding him. And like I read Devil in the White City, which was really dumb to do because then I just worried about like—
You don't know that's about a serial killer.
Yeah, it was a really bad choice.
So many options.
But then I also read the book, The Gift of Fear, which I just think every woman should read. I'll always say that. Everybody should read it. Every like teen girl should read it. And like the biggest takeaway I get from it is if you have to say no to somebody three times, they're testing you. They're testing to see like if you're easy prey or whatever. Because not only are we animals, men are animals, you know, like.
Well, I think it's just teaching you to trust your spidey senses that something is amiss. And it doesn't have to be the person. It can be that like if something goes down, you're too far away from help. Like if you've ever gone like on a hike and you're like, I think I've gone too far because if I break my leg right now, like I'm kind of dead. Like there are those senses inside
for
of me.
For sure. That- well, there's like logical steps you can take about like safety or if you're safe. But we've all been in that situation where you say like, there was something weird about them and I don't know what it is.
And you don't have to know. You don't have to be rude. You don't have to go up and go, I think there's something weird about you.
It's not like, I know you hate woo-woo stuff and it's not like that you're a psychic or whatever. Stuff. It's all based in science. And the science of it is because we're animals, we notice when people's eyes dilate, they get flushed. They have different hormones going. They're in attack mode. You notice these things. You notice like the way they encroach on your space and stuff like that. You know there's something wrong with it, even if you can't like say it. We're an animal and we're like trained to like take note of it. And if we're smart, we do take note of it.
Yeah.
And like he says in the book, you know, like whenever he talks to all these victims of like a violent crime and he's like, was there any moment where you thought this doesn't feel right? And there always is. And it's like, if they just listen to that moment, it could have,
I know.
It's not victim blaming, but it's saying
he's just
like,
trying to be observant. But I still think like there is a tendency for us to feel like we will.
Oh, you could have gotten out of it if you would have tried kind of thing.
A little bit.
It's not that. It's not that. It's just to like, you might trust your gut. They might.
The gut.
Yes, they might stop you anyways. Like you might not be able to escape that situation. And like crazy people be fucking crazy and you
also,
might not be
even
able to
if they're
them.
Not, it's like, hey man, I'm just playing my odds here to keep everybody safe. Like, you know, and maybe you're perfectly fine. I don't need to be rude about it, but my gut's weird and I'm going
to
go.
I think it's okay to say to people like, I just don't feel comfortable right now with a situation and you can hate me or whatever. You can call me a bitch, whatever. I'm getting out of this. Like, I don't
care. You can't call me a bitch. I swear to God. I'm just kidding.
But I even said to my son the other day, which I was like, why did I have to give myself permission to say that to him? But I'm like, when he's with adults that I don't know, I have been asking him, is that somebody you feel comfortable with? Because why would I not ask that question? Like, I want the doorway to be open for like, if there's any reason you don't want to be around that adult, let me know.
When I ask my kids, if you ever want to have fun with your kids, have them act like you and see what they do. And it's changed over the years. At first, they would always test me. When they would see a billboard, they would read what was on the billboard and they would say, Mommy, can we see? And they would ask. It was always what's his name? Ryan Murphy with one of his freaking House of whatever hell movies. You know, that series with Kim Kardashian and it's like always like devil people and the, what am I thinking of?
American Horror Story. Yeah.
And so that Eleanor would go like, read the sign. She'd be like, can we see American Horror Story? And I would go, absolutely not. And they knew like if they could ask me, it would just send me into a tizzy.
Yeah.
And now they say, now they make fun of me and they go, every time something comes up that you can talk to us about not doing drugs, you bring it up. My kids are 11 and 13 because literally we'll be watching a movie and they'll go, we know we're not allowed to take anything. If it's in a pharmaceutical bottle, that doesn't, it's just as dangerous.
No white powders. Yeah.
You know, like I see people vape, like if somebody smokes in a movie, yeah. they pause it and they're like, go ahead. Yep. I'm like, I just want you to know that like probably by the time you guys are back in college, this is going to be cool. And it makes your clothes smell bad. And nobody wants to kiss your mouth. I'm just going to tell you.
Yeah.
And so that's their act out for me is that I'm constantly on their ass about behavior.
That's obviously.
He wants to be my kid.
No, that's obviously what I'm doing to my kids.
Right. Like, it's just constant.
Do you get any molestery vibes from that person?
I know because we're trying to just make the conversation
not weird.
But like, I do believe, by the way, fewer words, the more impactful because they're tuning you out.
Yes.
The second you get into a conversation, they're like this. Can I soft focus and pretend like I'm blinking and listening? Will she buy it?
I'm sorry. You still have to remind them to say please and thank you. So is there any reason you should think you don't have to remind them to say no to drugs?
Right. Or I say things
they
like,
will forget.
Hey, man, you know, then I always just walk it out. I'm always like, let's just say you have a headache and you're at a friend's house and she's like, here, try this. It'll make your headache go away. Nope, can't. Or I'll go, so what if you're like sleepy and like somebody's like, hey, take a little bit of this from it. I go, no, you can't. So my
God,
kids,
I haven't even thought about
they
those
like
things.
Kind of literally will walk away from me and I'm still giving them scenarios. Okay, you're on a train. It's between Paris and Germany and you're trying and someone says, do you want to try lick this stamp for a postcard? Can't do it. You don't know what's on the back of that.
I'm
stamp.
Not good at math.
My kids are very overwhelmed by my fear mongering.
Well, that's, I don't think you're doing anything wrong.
Meanwhile, our parents would have been like, you kind of know him. He's got a second cousin that's from the same county.
Of my parents probably would have been like, yeah, I did everything. I'm okay. You know, you're going to have to see what you want to do and what you don't want to do.
It's not that weird.
And my mom would have been like, I don't drink orange juice because I think it's the devil's drink. But so I read this book and I do think it's great.
Yeah.
Because right after I read this book, I had this really weird thing happen. Now, does every place have like city targets or do I have to explain what?
Does that just mean multiple levels?
Yeah, it's like multiple levels.
Yeah, when you have a lot of square footage, you get a one level situation, which is way easier.
But in some places they have like the city version where it's like, it's a regular target, but maybe it's like three levels or two levels. And so, you know how when you have a newborn baby and you're like, where can I go to get every single thing done that I need to get done? So I only have to do the car seat once rather than like put them in and out and drive. Like it's just.
And this is before the days of pickup, which was not as easy to use. You know, COVID really helped seal the deal on that, where you could do a pre-order and go drive up. Those days were not.
Yeah.
It was not there yet.
No. And this was like, okay, I have to go to the grocery store. So I have to bring the thing to put in the cart, like where I have to, where am I going to put the car seat? And is it going to be one of those that has the car seat built in? And if not, like sometimes you would just take like your biggest stroller and just throw
dump everything
stuff on the bottom
or on the kid.
Yes. 100. We've all been there and done this. So I was getting out of the house to go to lunch with a friend. And we went like downtown in, not downtown, but like West Hollywood, which has a city Kmart.
Oh.
So it's like two levels. It's not there anymore.
Oh, yeah. I know. I know where
right
that
by
was.
The Grove.
Yep. I know exactly
so
where that
is.
It
was this like fun little place that you could like go get lunch. And I was like, awesome. I can go to the Grove and I can
exactly
get all this
which one
cleaning
it is.
Stuff that I need to get. And so I went to lunch and it was great. Then I go to the car and I got that like quilted thing that goes in the the seat part of the cart for babies.
Yeah.
So it's a little bit more cushy and like they can lean on it. They don't like put their mouth on it. It's like cleaner. It such a tiny little person. So I got that, and it's the first time I've used this thing, but it was like, so maybe Dash wasn't a newborn, but it was like the first time he could use it and not have to be in a car seat.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, sit up.
Yeah, sit up on his own.
Yeah.
So I go to this Kmart and it's like really busy, and I'm trying to figure out how to put the thing into the cart. When I walk in the door of Kmart, this guy squeezes in the door at the same time as I do.
Uh-uh.
Okay. So that was the first thing. And I was like, oh, I must have been so preoccupied with like all the stuff I had and the baby that I cut him off. And he's with those women that
because he was, right in front he was of hustling.
Me. Yeah. So I was like, oh, I thought I had been rude. And so then I was like, that's why he did that, because I'm not paying attention. But then just out of like the corner of my eye, I registered a thing that was weird, that was those women went off to like the section immediately to the left, and he didn't. So he's not with them. So for some reason, he got really close to me, and I don't know why, but it like registered with me. So it when you have like the city Kmart, city Target, you have to put your cart like in the escalator, but you can't have your baby in it.
So you got to take the baby out.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Why do they make everything so damn hard?
Well, he wasn't in there yet. So I was like, okay, I'm going to get a cart downstairs because everything I need to buy is downstairs, and I'll just put him in the cart once I get
down. It looks like it, like an alligator mouth, and it like holds the cart and it takes it down, if you don't know. They're difficult because they can be rickety, and you got to take your kid out. Yeah, and you got your stuff, and you got to go back up.
It distinctly says no humans can go down this side, and these like flapping saloon doors.
I sort of wonder how many parents are like,
you know, it's happening. And if the cart is full, you can like go upstairs and downstairs with your full cart. You just wait till it comes out.
Yeah,
you go up the escalator side. So I go down the escalator side, and I grab a cart. And I go off to the side because I know it's going to like block everybody getting a cart while I figure this out. So I'm putting it in there, and there's like a tie, you know, that you put on there. It's taking me a long time. And I look up, and that same guy that walked by me is standing again, like he's like 10 feet away from me. And he's like looking at DVDs on this like rounder. I'm like, who looks at DVDs in anywhere anymore? Like even in Target, Kmart, like we're not.
Yeah, we're on hard times.
Right. Like, I mean, the reason I chose it is because I was like, oh, good. I can get paper towels and 409 and like carpet. Like,
yeah.
So I noticed that, and it's weird. The weird thing is it takes me a while to get Dash in the cart. And when I look up again, he's not far away, which I was like, there's nothing in this area really, because
this guy needs to be interested in.
Yeah, that is taking this like long to look at. So I'm already at this point, I'm at like a 6 or a 7 going like, why is he trying to be close to me? So then I walk like down an aisle, like, you know, where you can see down all of the aisles, because I'm looking for like where the cleaners are and stuff like that and any other random shit that I need to buy. And I notice as I get down like the third aisle, he's standing at the end of the aisle.
And this guy has already been in your lane
way too long.
You're like, do you need nipple pads, sir?
I don't think so.
I don't know what you need here, but like,
you need more Medela bags, do you, sir?
I don't think you're looking for Stay Free, so stay the fuck away.
But the fact that he was there, it put me at like an 8 or a 9. So I was like, okay, I'm going to do a test. So I walk down the next aisle, and he hops over the next aisle.
Did he appear to be homeless to you? Did he appear to be? No.
Not at all.
Just normally dressed?
Pretty normally dressed. I mean,
not to say that all homeless people are going to go finding you, but I'm saying, was the need present in your mind that he might do something irrational?
No. Nothing. He looked like a totally normal person.
Okay.
Totally normal. So when I get to the next aisle and he hops over to the next aisle too and stops when I stop, I look down the aisle and I go, what the fuck are you doing, man?
Woo.
And I put my arms out like this and I pushed the cart to the next aisle and stopped, and he walked up to the next aisle and he stopped. And so I just grabbed Dash out of the cart with the cart cover and everything and ran up the I have Dash in my arm, and I ran, start running up the escalator. And then when I look down, he's behind me. He's like 5 feet probably behind me. So I start screaming on the escalator, help, somebody help me, somebody help me. And when I got to the top of the elevator, I'm like running up. These plainclothes
cops,
security people were like, one was like, are you okay? And the other one follows this guy.
Yeah.
So I was like, this guy's following me. This guy's following me. I know you think I'm crazy, but this guy's following me. And she's like, I think he is. It's okay. You're okay. You're okay. Like, they walk me up to the front, and I'm like, my whole body is shaking. Like, because it takes so much adrenaline out of you.
Yeah, to be whenever you have something situation. Like that happen, you feel very weepy and weird because you're just so, it's
circuit, drains you.
It's circuit overload.
It's absolutely, and plus that in my head, I was like, I'm mad at you. I don't like what you're doing, and I'm going to like mama bear with you and go, what the fuck are you doing, man? Like, I see what you're doing.
Which is out of your own comfort zone. It's not like a daily thing. Never. So you're already acting beyond what your normal is.
I do believe if somebody is like intimidating me, it is like, be it trauma response or whatever it is, my thing is, I'm going to ruin your day.
Right.
I'm going to make it the hardest day you're going to have.
Yeah, you're feisty when needed. Like, you'll react.
I will. It just like kicks in with me.
That kicks in when I can't find my car. I'm like, what the fuck? Who the fuck stole my car? All right, so I parked on the wrong.
Here's the end of the story. My gut was entirely right. So that, the guy comes back, like, he's chasing
the police officer.
Yeah, it was like security or whatever. Yeah,
they do.
So
they
it was like a busy enough store that they had a lot of security there. So they told me that guy was in here earlier today. He went home and he changed his shirt. We have him on video having done this thing where he follows a woman with a baby and he waits for you to put your purse in the cart. And then he runs up and he grabs your purse because you're not going to leave the baby to go chase him down for the purse. Like, you're just easy prey.
It's true.
Because you're not going to.
You're
right?
not
going to
do that.
He was standing there waiting for me to put the purse in. I didn't put the purse in because I was just...
Because she's like, I paid a lot for this sucker and I got it at a good deal on Vestiaire. I'm not going to let you get it, buddy.
I mean, yeah. But for whatever reason, I didn't. I guess it's probably more that I just was so overwhelmed with all these moving parts and stuff that I didn't like... think to get comfy or something. And he never let me get comfy. But so he ran out. They didn't catch him. But I said to them, I go, I want to leave and I want you both to walk me to my car and do not leave my sight until I pull out of this parking lot, which they did. Aww. They were totally like great about it. But, you know, in my head, it could have been like, I was like, is he going to steal my baby?
I know.
Purse, whatever, I could live with, but I didn't know. I just knew something was wrong. And it's the one time in my life I'm like, thank God I listened to what my gut said. And if I hadn't read that book, I don't honestly think I would have. I don't think I would have been as like.
I think you would have. Really? I think what the takeaway is you're talking a little about some simple street smarts here in that like all of us get a little bit too busy and we start to like lose ourselves a little bit. And it's just good to remember that like, you know, like when they say when you go to like Spain or when you go to Paris in particular, like there's a lot of pickpockets and they tell you like you wear your purse like this, you put your thing, you wrap your hand around it. It's just those little things that we do to sort of protect ourselves. It's good to remind yourself, don't have your hands too full. Think about like, do you need to go in here? Like I used to do that math all the time when I had two.
Yes.
Oh my God. I remember being at a stupid, like one of those like little fairs that they have, but it's not in a little town. It's in freaking Los Angeles and every side is cornered with a very busy street. And Finn used to do this thing where he would like cut and run and he was fast.
Yeah.
And then Eleanor was in a stroller. So I would have to leave Eleanor to run after Finn. And literally I was like, what in the hell am I supposed to do right now? It's just, you're constantly doing math as a mom. And sometimes we get in a hurry. I think there's nothing to say that you did anything wrong. I'm saying like, to clear the wavelength so you can have those very clear reads on, like, think if you wouldn't have had the wherewithal to notice that guy.
Yeah.
And to pay attention to that he was there. And I mean, you prevented your purse getting stolen, but also you prevented like really having like a terrible traumatic experience that would have like followed you in a very different way.
Totally. I know. And I am somebody, and I know it's probably because I seem like really lazy and slow moving, but I hate rushing because if I rush, I make so many mistakes.
Have you met me?
It's just the worst feeling. I hate the like stress of it.
Yeah, it makes you sloppy.
All the time, like with babies specifically, like you're so vulnerable when you have your baby with you because you feel like the heat coming up your neck because the baby is being loud and you're in a place that you don't
could
feel
not
like you
be
should
more.
It's so freaking hard.
Yes.
It's so like there's all these things to think about. Like you have to rush. You're trying to get your groceries before the baby has a complete meltdown.
Yeah.
Or like maybe they had a blowout. You're like, I don't want to change this in the grocery store. I'm going to wait at least till we get to the car or something like that. You're so freaking rushed. And it's like just
to calm yourself really does heighten your sense of like your awareness. It's kind of like if we were back in, you know, cave times.
Yeah.
What am I trying to say? Caveman times, cave lady times. We'd be out in the bush and you wouldn't have 50 things to do because you're like, I don't know if a tiger's around.
Totally.
Like if I'm trying to figure out how to put a car seat in, this long toothed tiger is going to like eat me for lunch. I got to like keep my shit together.
If that were an issue, both my kids would have been eaten by now because I'm like, how do I snap this back in?
I know. I'd still be trying to figure out an up a baby stroller. I'm like, how many buttons does this sucker need?
Oh, God. Oh, that's all you do is you just push it down.
You just push it down. Thank you.
Thank you
so much.
I know. Yeah.
Well, I think you'll think this is interesting. Okay. So I knew we were going to talk about this today. And I've always been somebody that I'm like, if your gut gives you a feeling, trust it, because I can't name a time where my gut said one thing and I was wrong. And I'm not saying I'm always right. I'm just like, if I get a feeling, be it good or bad, I'm like, I know how this is going to go. There's something. And I do think because I do have ADD, sometimes I didn't have anything else to go on because I was like, am I so like out of my head right now? I can't read anything, but my gut feeling would always be pretty clear.
I would argue that it's that you're processing a lot of signals at once that maybe other people are not.
Isn't that the truth? I'm like a popcorn.
So sometimes it really comes in.
It really does. But I also always believe that the intuition of a mother is very, very powerful. And so if you got a feeling, you may not be able to articulate what it is, but it's there for a reason. And to just take a minute to be like, what am I feeling right now? Again, good or bad, or you got a hunch. Like there, especially with mothers, is very strong. So, you know, we've all heard of one of my favorite stories. It's not a favorite story. It's an incredible story. If you've never heard it, it's Jake Johnson from New Girl.
Yes.
He talks about an experience with, first of all, I have to get past the fact that I love him.
Yeah.
I'm like, I'm sorry, where have you been speaking this whole time? I'm going to rewatch this video because I got lost in your eyes. He was saying that his mom was like, I don't want you to go to school today. And he was like, what? And he was like, great. But he actually had a project due and he's like, I kind of need to go in. He was in elementary school. Long story short, please listen to this video. It's incredible. He's a great storyteller. But at the end of this story, he talks about how just – there was a school shooter the day he was not there.
Oh my God.
And literally kids died that day. And I just say what you will. He's like, my mom was never someone that's like, I'm a fortune teller. She just had this feeling and sort of trusted it. And that's an extreme example, but I think there's examples all the time where we have sort of this, like a little bit of ESP, a little prediction, a little bit of the ability to formulate all of these predictions because our brains work. So
even if you don't know that you're thinking, you're thinking.
Right.
So like,
why wouldn't you be able to predict?
Yeah. Your brain's doing math and it's a voice that doesn't have like my brain speaks in words.
Right.
Like I think things out in words. I think you do pictures.
Not. Yeah.
That's,
I think that's a strong,
no, that typically most men think,
I think
in
it's
pictures,
like this. Think so of it like an old school television where you were on one show and you're like, I'm gonna see what else is on, and you just keep flipping.
It's 18
then you don't
televisions
remember.
If it's one, Kristen, there's no way there's one black and white TV. There, one's 3D, one's an IMAX, and there's one.
One's
I'm
an iPad, one's a book, one's a book I tried to finish about 13 years ago. I still have never got through that one.
But one of them saying, like, I heard this thing as I was turning off the radio about there being like more violence in schools. And then I noticed this kid that looked weird when I dropped you off. Like your brain's doing that kind of math.
Well, you're hyper aware. And if you're me, you're just hyper. So
and aware.
I was reading about this a little bit because I was like, I'm also very fascinated with like women when they have a superhuman strength when something is threatening, like your baby, like,
or when you go to move furniture yourself.
Well, not, you have to have, you're trying to save the baby, not move the furniture. Okay. You're not getting a deal on Facebook Marketplace, you guys.
I can move a whole sofa.
That is not what we're talking about. But when women have a sense of strength that they did not know they had, which we've all heard those stories of like a woman picking up a car, a woman, you know, defending herself against, you know, a huge man or whatever the situation is.
Yeah.
It's
that woman who stopped her Ford Expedition for rolling over her child in a car seat.
Totally.
And broke her back.
Or the woman who
held
her kid in a like he was in a car seat and they were over the side of a bridge and she held that kid for 3 hours. You have superhuman strength. And what they call it, which I would like to say, I'd like to pitch some new names, is they call it hysterical strength, which always something in hysteria. Instead of just being a badass, they call it hysteria strength. So basically, that is the act of display of extreme physical strength by humans beyond what is believed to be within their capacity, usually occurring when people are in or perceive themselves or others to be in life or death situations. And really, we see it in women, especially when they are defending littles. Yeah. You don't have to be the mother. You just have to see someone that is a victim or in need. There was a woman at a park and she saw a shooter and she took a bullet close range and saved six kids, two of being her own and four being at the park. She literally stood in front of that fucker and was like, I'll take it. And she took one in the chest and then she's like interviewed and you just get chills because she's like, there's nothing about her that's like, it started on a cloudy day. She's like, that's right. She's like, I saw this guy. I knew he had a gun. I stood in front of him and he shot me. And I was like, and I feel like you got home and you were like, I'm going to make pizza pockets because my left side hurts.
Yeah. How long do I have to wait to drink beer again?
Yeah, like how long before that I can, gee, mini Christmas. So when I was studying a little bit about hysterical strength, there was a woman and I want to give her credit. Her name is Bloomfield. She was saying the best example of hysterical strength is childbirth because a woman's body goes through more pain, disruption.
Okay.
Like literally your uterus after you have a baby shrinks down to the size it was. And we tell women they got to get back to themselves in 6 weeks. You're supposed to wear Lululemon pants. It takes your body a full 2 years, every human body, to recover from childbirth, to which you are pushing that baby out for whatever time it takes that you've gone
again through. A spleen removal without anesthesia, and we don't stitch you back up afterwards.
Correct.
We just leave all these vessels open
also,
in you.
A C-section, no picnic. Everybody's like, oh, you didn't go vaginally. I'm like, you take off 8 raincoats, and that is the layers of skin that have to be cut in order to get that baby
out. Oh, dear God. Well, I tell you, my husband doesn't, because he looked on the other side of the curtain.
Oh, no.
And he was like, that was no picnic.
No.
It's a big deal. And then you also feel like, God, this is our birth control episode. Cause like, if you don't have kids already, you're going to really think twice about them.
Yeah. Every hot 28-year-old dude that's listening to this is going to be like, this is where I jump ship.
Dude, you got the easy job. It's every 28-year-old
woman.
Female is going to be like, how many IUDs can I legally get?
I heard the I Mom So Hard podcast. Is there anything I can do? Just,
you know what I like?
Crap on like
cats.
The most, like, birth control
nope,
possible.
I'm just going to dog rescue for the rest of my life. No, I get it. Totally makes sense to me. But listen, like it is like once you make this human, specifically your own, like once you make this human and you go through such intense pain to make this human, it doesn't even really enter your brain that you wouldn't go through that again to keep them safe.
To keep them alive, to keep them safe. That's
absolutely.
Why we're all running plays in our heads, why we make ourselves a little
worst
bit nutty.
Case scenario.
Every single time you make a decision to give them any independence, you're playing the odds against your own instincts. We want to hover, but we can't because we know that stops growth. That's why we need each other because we're crazy because of that very formula.
And I know another mom gets it when like my little baby 8-year-old is crying because of something that somebody said to her. I see myself and it looks like I'm like sharpening a knife while I'm listening to it. Like, Yeah. And yeah. what was their name? And when did it happen? And where can I find them? Like, I can't turn it off. Okay. No. I apply logic to that and I don't act, you know,
the way we want to.
Yeah. But I, there's a moment I want to.
And it's like, we all do. We mama bear. We mama bear. And then when there is real danger, it is proven that women can become 7 times more powerful, more, they can lift 7 times more than they normally can in a moment of having hysterical strength.
All right.
Which I really hate the name.
I do too, because it comes from like hysterectomy. Hysteria. Like you get a hysterectomy and then you're not as crazy. But I will say, doctors, if you had the old hysteria, used to recommend a vibrator. And might I say, saves a lot of problems.
Right. I'm just saying the vibrator company was like, let's come up with a different name than the hysterical machine, shall we? Like,
yeah.
Let's give it something with a little bit more panache.
Yeah.
There's something in the V space, but also, still vibrator. I'm like, still a little bit on the nose, but
yeah, it's
fine. Yeah. Look at how loose you just said that word. I sat here and didn't giggle.
That's why the rabbit sold so well. You're like, oh, it's cute and fast. Okay. Adorable.
Moving on. Okay. Hysterical strength. So I looked up a couple examples because I thought they were really fascinating. I wanted to give this gal credit on Ashley of Crime and Scary Stories on TikTok. She needs to clean up the edit. It's a little bit of a rough edit.
Okay.
But Angela Cavallo in 1982 is a really famous example of this strength, and people studied it because her son was working underneath a car. And the car jack fell and he was rendered unconscious. And she lifted the car up 7 inches to get, and then screamed like she's never screamed before while holding this car up. And the neighbor came and slid the boy out. And he said he walked in and she was holding the car up.
Oh my God.
He goes, I had to pull him out, but she was picking up a car.
Yeah.
Like, just this little woman. And I think that is like an example of like what you can do. Another woman fought off a polar bear.
Yeah, I know. There's this video and it was like a viral video of this woman and it was in California.
Yeah.
She had like 3 little dogs.
Yeah, she just didn't want her dogs to go.
She goes outside and there's a...
She fought off a bear.
Yeah, like a brown bear. Like
defending her 4-year-old. But I'm telling you, if somebody comes after Sky, I'm probably going to get into it. Daisy, I'd be like, we can negotiate.
I mean, we've had this conversation. I mean, a brown bear is a little bit different because they will maul you to death and laugh and then like...
What's the rule on that? Brown bear, lay down, die.
Brown lay down, bear, black fight back, white, good night. Yeah, so brown bear attack, you're probably not going to survive.
Polar bear, you're not going to survive. And that's what that woman, and she was in Quebec, she fought a polar bear.
I mean, that's impossible.
But she did it. And I think like you'll just die trying is what you'll do. You'll lift.
Especially if it's for your kids or some other kid.
Yeah.
That woman, she was defending her 3 little dogs in the yard. Like she outbeared this bear and like scared this bear out of her freaking backyard.
I had an aunt that ran after a bear just so that the bear didn't get to her garden. But it didn't surprise me because my aunt I would put money on my aunt.
If you've listened to the podcast for a while, you've heard me talk about this. We have a coyote problem.
Holy moly. It's not a joke.
No.
We have a coyote problem and we're in the flats and you're in the mountains. It makes sense to me that you have coyotes here, but we're seeing big ones and they are middle of the day. Aren't they supposed to come out at night?
That's when they're supposed to hunt, but no, they come out in the middle of the day because they know that like Joe's Hamburger Shack has like a bunch of grease out behind it and stuff. So they're city coyotes. It's like the worst of both worlds. They have like Bloods and Crips tattoos and stuff now. They're just like every level of scary.
I saw one driving a Tesla and I was like, things are going well for you.
Right.
Well, everybody else is a little
you're
lean.
You're still an asshole coyote.
Yeah, you're an asshole.
It's like,
we see them in our neighborhood and every single time I do, I feel like I'm like, it's like Uncanny Valley. I'm like, what are you doing here?
It's so out of place, and they're so big, and all
and
the time.
Assholes. They're not cute. I don't think they're cute.
No, and you guys, they're crafty and they're cunning, and they'll like act. They act like they're playing to get a dog close to them, and they'll snatch them through the gate, through the fence. Well, that's my husband and I talk all the time about how we're going to end up fighting a coyote. Like, because what they'll do is they'll go for the little dog. So we've got all sizes of dogs.
And all the bros are watching.
They'll go for the little one and like bring it over the fence. So I've got the bigger dogs hoping that they'll at least slow them down. And then I'm going to run in, you guys.
She has thought this through. Do you see what I mean? This is her hysterical response. Her hysterical strength is a hysterical response.
I heard this when you're fighting a shark. You go for the eyes or you stick your hand straight up their gills. I know with a coyote, you go for their eyeballs. You stick their finger in your butt or you take their front legs.
About the finger in the butt. How the hell are you going to get your finger in a
Kristen,
coyote?
I'm going to have fun trying. I don't know. It's going to be an experience for the both of us that we'll remember either way. But they let go. It makes them let go.
I know, but how is your finger going to get in their asshole? How are you going to do that?
I assume a coyote's got a sizable asshole. I've seen their poops on our street. I don't know if it's a human or if it's an ape.
How are you going to get to the coyote?
I don't know. The truth is that there's going to be something in there. You
break their legs apart?
Their front legs. That's what you have to do. But we also, by every door, we have golf clubs and ball bats and stuff like that. So
God.
I would just accidentally
be. She's a lovely home.
I know, but you guys, it's like, hey.
It's the yard.
It's, and there's an 8-foot tall fence all the way around it. But I have somebody that Delilah goes to school with. She's been to their birthday party. I've seen how high their fence is. She goes, yeah, the last dog that we had, coyote jumps over the fence, grabs the dog and jumps back over the fence, 8-foot fence, like it was nothing. She's like,
I will agree with that because I showed you that video. Remember, we had new grass planted and there was like a bunch of like footprints in the front. And so of course, first person I blame is my son, which sorry, kid, I'm the oldest too. I get what you're the first line of defense. Yeah. So I'm like, Fang, do you run through the new grass? And he's like, no. And I'm like, he's lying. I'm going to look at the Ring app. And I looked at the Ring app from the nighttime and I showed it to my husband and there were 8 raccoons.
Oh yeah.
Freaking possum.
Yep.
And 2 coyote. Whew. And it was like Zootopia in our backyard.
Party, I know.
And I'm like, did I sleep through all of this? I'm never going to make it. And then guys, this is, no. I guess I'm lucky to be human. Cause if I was anything else, I would have been dead a long time ago.
I know. That's what I'm willing to fight a coyote. And even there are coyotes. If kids are under 3, you have to be careful.
They'll come at you. Have you ever, okay. So as I was deep diving all of this stuff about moms, here's an interesting fact. They have a hard time studying hysterical strengths because they cannot mimic the need. So like you can't go out
and you can't predict it and you can't fake the artificially. Yeah.
That a woman would need. I mean, you can't do that in a humane way and you can't do that.
Oh my God. No.
And she would know that there was any kind of test going on and she would kill you as you try to test and that would be your fault.
Yeah.
So there's no real way to test it, but it's actually absolutely scientifically proven that women, in particular mothers, are super, super strong when things are challenging their kids. The other thing is I started to deep dive and they had all these videos of wild kingdom of animals.
Oh my God, I know.
Oh God, you guys.
I know.
There was a baby rhino.
Oh, baby rhino. Oh God.
And a freaking alligator, one of those creatures.
No.
Am I wrong?
No. I'm on the side of this babe mom rhino.
I'm going to say everything wrong. I don't know where it is. I think it's Africa. There's water. There's a freaking creature.
I think that's a safe bet for
whatever
rhinos.
It is.
Okay.
And the rhino grabs, or the gator, whatever it is, grabs this little rhino baby. And then the rhinos all look like they're coming at this thing at 5 miles per hour. But what they do,
they're the fastest land animal,
is they circle this motherfucker.
Ooh.
And they tear it to shreds. And the baby rhino lives because they were patient. They were like, we're not going to react as one. We're going to react together.
Oh,
and they
God.
Create this like smash pot and they pull this thing together. Like each one of them was like, delicious. Thank you. I'm glad we ordered calamari. I got a little piece for myself.
But it tastes like chicken.
It was so extraordinary to watch these animals calculate their next
move.
Like, we've seen this happen before. We are not going to panic. We are going to circle this guy and destroy him. And it was wonderful.
I love to see those like elephant videos too.
Oh my God,
where like
yes.
Elephant moms are
best.
Oh my God. They like circle all the young. They're like, your baby is my baby. And they like
they mourn
protect
too.
Them.
If a mama dies, they grieve.
I'll tell you one that was really interesting to see. There's videos you can see online of giraffes protecting their young.
Oh and yeah. Giraffe.
Use their dang head. She's like, I'll use anything I got to. You come at me, Coyote, and you're going to have a bunch of Lee Press-ons up your asshole, man. I'll use everything I got to keep my little baby dog away from you.
Jen'll be like,
I'm like,
I'm going up. I'm going up and in.
Oh my God. She's like Wolverine, like, but she's got like
fingers. I fucking put my finger in a coyote asshole.
Ballet pink on.
Yeah, man. Ballet pink, bubblegum pink. Hey, should we talk about a hot flash? I have been watching so much of this guy. I know you're on board. And I'm just going to talk full on hot.
Okay.
Maybe one of the hottest men.
Like everybody's type kind of
everybody's
hot?
Everybody's type. Okay. All right. John Hamm.
Oh, God. Are you kidding me? Of course.
We always breeze over him because he's like been around forever. And he's
like he's a foregone conclusion. Yep.
I have not watched the series Mad Men. I know. I should. But I watched the clips on TikTok
because
I can't
commit
anything.
Okay. Yeah.
But I think he is so attractive. And it's somehow because that guy is the luckiest man on planet Earth, he just keeps getting better and better. I know you thought it too. He plays the worst person ever on Fargo. And I'm like,
worst person with the best best ass you've ever seen in your life.
I love the way he talks about other actors. I like the way he is, makes fun of himself. He was like out of work, I don't know, for 5 minutes. But he would like rollerblade to auditions and was like trying to get like a, you know, an orange juice commercial, and he would like rollerblade in, and he's an oversweater. So he would be like sweaty and like, he just makes fun of himself. I also think he's profoundly funny, which is,
he is really funny.
He can't have it all. Well, like, come on, man.
He's got a doppelganger too. Who is it? I don't know. There's somebody where I'm always like, my husband's like, lay off the John Hamm. But I'm like, that's John Hamm. That sounds like John Hamm's voice. Like, there, he
I don't know.
Do you
but
know
if there's
who it
a
is?
Beat teamer, Trey. Like, yeah. Add him to the mix.
I don't know. He's you know.
He's been around for so long
that we forget.
You can call him a John Hamm. You can say a John Hamm type. And that's a very specific thing. You know, you've been hot for a long time if you're now a type.
Oh, and I mean,
blah, 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 guys, blah, blah.
What?
So hot.
I made Kristen Google John Hamm in red pants, you guys.
No, I forgot about this. This was never a part of my hot flash. I am not going to be a part of this conversation.
You're not going to be a part of the conversation, but you're going to get done watching Bridgerton. With your pants open, and you're
sometimes
gonna be
I
like,
have on my night pants, which are softer and more stretchy. But if I've got on my denim shorts, I'm not keeping those on when I'm in a L-shaped sofa.
Okay, is it Michael Fassbender?
I'll say he's a Michael. He also Michael Fassbender also has a Fassbender. He did
Does
a full nude. He did a full frontal.
What?
I don't know why I know that.
In you know who
in
else
a movie,
did?
And evidently it was they just needed to use a wider lens. But good God, that man is hot.
I'm pretty sure we podcasted.
We did.
Podcast?
I think we podcasted.